Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Bob, I just want to thank you for being here trying to right a world that is upside down.
Well, we're trying to move the world to the right.
Yes.
Here at Bob Enyart Live. Well, and Doug, in Colorado, we've taken another step because we turned in. Now, we had to turn in at least 86,000
signatures. 86,180.
That was the minimal number. You need that many valid signatures to get on the ballot. And if you turn in 86,000,
86,180,
and then if they throw out one, then you're deficient. So you're not going to make the ballot.
Right.
So you have to have a cushion.
Cushion. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we turned in, and this is a beautiful number. I know you like numbers. Yeah, I like numbers.
Sure. God likes numbers. He's the ultimate mathematician.
Yeah. Everything works out mathematically.
Yeah. He loves numbers.
Yeah. Except E equals MC squared. I just learned that. Yeah. That it doesn't quite work.
What do you mean?
It does. It's not quite provable.
What?
Not quite. Yeah, Einstein in his own notes wrote a... He said, well, you know, these
things... I don't know what you're saying. We'll have to...
We'll explore that further.
All right, I'm not going to buy into that, for the record.
No, that's not... Yes, okay. Anyway, we turned in 112,000.
Yeah.
121. 112121.
All right.
Which I just found as a really cool binary number. It's just a cool looking
number. Yeah, it's a nice number.
112,121. So they can throw out about 20% of the signatures, and we're still on the ballot.
They could throw out 22%, I think, if we take a wild stab at it.
Yeah, let's say they threw out 22%.
22%, we still make the ballot.
Yeah, so for all you heathens who smirked and sneered and laughed at me and others as we tried to petition you,
and
for all of you, when I said, we'll see you in November, we'll see you in November.
See you in November. Yeah. And, Doug, if we make the ballot, which it looks like we will, we normally get 80-some percent valid signatures.
Yeah.
And we've been getting better at it each election cycle. Yeah. This is round 3.
Yeah, we're seasoned pros.
Personhood round 3 in Colorado. Yeah. We get better at it, and we had an early turn-in deadline.
Yeah, that's right.
So many of the petitions, virtually all, were pre-processed.
Yep.
And problems with the notaries were corrected. Petitions were sent back to the petitioner and said, the notary's not right, make the notary, get it right. And also people who signed who were out of state, people who forgot their signature, those were crossed off, so that we turned in a very reliable number of signatures.
They were good-looking petitions, I must say.
They were.
Yes.
Works of art.
Yeah.
And so with God's help, we're going to find out that we're closer to 90% valid signatures, and we're going to make the ballot.
And we're going to put personhood on the ballot. Now, this will be the fourth vote, Bob, the fourth statewide vote. There's been two in Colorado.
Right.
One in Mississippi, and now there's going to be a fourth in Denver.
Yeah.
And I just want to say to you, America, how many times do we have to do this with you people? Come on. Really, unbelievable.
So, Doug, this is it's good because you want to be a testimony to the world that there is a God, there is such a thing as right and wrong, and when you get people at the most fundamental level you could reach them, that's good. That's better than saying, you know, the tax rate's too high.
Yeah, right.
Now, that's important, too, but
it is important.
Less significant than killing the innocent.
Yeah, the legalized murder of 50 million Americans.
Right.
Yeah, right in our own backyard, in the freest nation on God's green earth, the best hope for mankind, we've legally murdered over 50 million people.
Right. So it's good to tell people that, hey, getting high is bad. It leads to immorality. It's fundamentally immoral.
It's good to tell
people. It's disobeying God. But it's more significant to say it's wrong to kill innocent children.
Yeah.
God expects us to protect innocent children. We have to attempt to prevent the killing of innocent children. If you hate the mother then you don't care if she kills her child. Mm. If you hate the mother, if you're a Christian who says, I don't judge, let's translate that. That means you're apathetic. Apathy is hatred. That means you hate the mother and you don't care if she kills her child.
Wow.
But if you love the mother, if you love the dad, you love the child, and you love God, then you're going to warn the wicked, don't kill the innocent, and you're going to attempt to prevent it, because God says that the society that allows the killing of the innocent, that God holds the society at fault and guilty.
Mm. Okay. But like, what if a woman is raped?
That's what they say.
But what if a woman is raped?
You don't kill the child for the crime of the father. You don't kill the child because the father's a criminal. That's what the ancient world did. That's wrong to do. And on top of that, for example, abortion for incest has given us more incest. Mm. Because the child is then killed and the evidence of the crime is disposed of by Planned Parenthood. Mm. Then the uncle or the stepfather commits the crime again.
Yeah.
He re-offends.
And we had the opportunity, I know I did, and I saw many of my brothers and sisters had the same opportunity with younger high school, college age girls, you know, the like crowd,
yeah.
That crowd,
yeah.
Who've never pondered the issue of rape and incest beyond that. That's it. Rape and incest is
that
the ironclad reason
proves.
For abortion.
Right.
That argument over. I can't tell you how many times I saw the light go on, as dim as it may have been,
right,
in the eyes of these young, ignorant, miseducated heathens who had never heard these arguments before, that we shouldn't punish a child for the crime of her father. Stunning. They were stunned. They had no words.
Right.
They couldn't answer that. One girl asked me, well, what about your daughter? No, she asked me, do you have any daughter? I said, I have three daughters. Well, what if it happened to your daughter? Mm. I said, I would counsel my daughter to do the more honorable thing, to carry the child, not to kill the child.
Right. Right.
Stunned disbelief. Lights going on. That's
what
this
John,
is. That's how, why this is a
remember
ministry.
Remember how John McCain answered that question? He said, I would tell my daughter, it's your choice.
It's up to you. Yeah.
No. That's pro-choice, right? Which is pro-abortion.
Yeah. In the end, speaking on a purely utilitarian level, it's true. It is her choice. She has the ability to kill the child. But like I told so many people in my discussions with them, they would say, well, I think everyone should have the right to choose. I said, well, if someone chose to kill you, I would protect you.
Mm.
Even to my death, risk my own life and health, I would try to protect you.
Right, sure.
And they're left in a better state than I found them. That's all I can say. That's why this is a ministry. That's why gathering signatures.
It is.
It's not just about going out and hitting the numbers.
Right.
It's about witnessing to people who in our
very
culture.
Very encouraging.
In our culture, there are people who have been inoculated from the gospel, and this is a way to get to them.
I was at one of the local county fairs for a couple of days working in the booth.
Yeah.
And a family came by, and the mother was so happy to sign. And her 18-year-old son had all tattoos and bones sticking out here and there, metal things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so turns out his name is Michael.
Yeah.
And I said, and I've been in there for 6 hours without leaving the booth.
Oof.
I said, Michael, you want to go get a drink and we'll talk? And he said, sure, man.
All
so
right.
We went. We had a wonderful talk about where do rights come from. I asked so many people.
Yeah, yeah.
The T-Mobile booth next to us, I asked them, where do rights come from?
They were evangelized.
If you figure out where rights come from, I'll extend my contract. And so, Doug, this young guy, he thought it through. And they can't come from the government. Then they're not rights.
That's right. They're not inalienable, that's for sure.
Do they come from the majority? And he talked through that. And he's like, no, man, if they did, you know, people might just kill Mexicans because they're a minority.
That's right.
So it can't come from the majority. And so where do rights come from? And he ended up saying they must come from God.
Wow.
They must come from God. That's right.
So you kind of walked him into that.
Well, sure. And
that's
you know
awesome.
What? It wasn't too hard.
Yeah.
And so Christians pray for an open door. They pray for an opportunity. And I've never heard one testimony where the opportunity, the open door, came when you were sitting on the couch with the remote control. Never heard one testimony like that.
The doors just don't fly open.
It is possible, but I've never heard it once.
Right.
Right?
Or if you just go to the church and go through the motions and you sit in the pew, there's not a lot of open doors there at church. You got to go outside the church. Reach out
right.
to the lost and
so
and the
pro-life
dying.
Ministry is one great way of immediately bringing people to a recognition that God exists.
Mm.
They might reject it, but that's what's on the table.
Yes.
As soon as you say, this child has a God-given right to life, and we need to protect and advocate and protect that right, to enforce that right, And then you're holding them accountable.
There you go. And I want to extend a personal thanks to Rahm Emanuel and the other two mayors who named I don't remember. Mayor of, I think it was Boston.
Boston.
And some other eastern dilapidated broken down city that needs paint. They all got mad at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And they said that, you know, Chick-fil-A's values aren't our values. They even implied they might stop Chick-fil-A from opening stores in their decrepit, broken-down cities.
Yeah, right.
Building a nice, pretty Chick-fil-A. No.
Right.
Anyway, Detroit, that was it. Detroit.
Detroit.
You don't want a new Chick-fil-A in Detroit, half your city
Chicago,
is crumbling.
Chicago, Boston, right.
Anyway.
And give me chicken or give me death.
Amen. So the outrage of these advocates of deviancy, just to be polite about it, their outrage coalesced a moment in time that literally put millions of Christians in Chick-fil-A on one day.
On one day.
And in Colorado, tens of thousands of Christians came and descended onto one place.
Yes.
And if there was one thing that we needed as petitioners, is we needed to find places where we could find like-minded people, and the homosexuals gave it to us. They gave us that day.
And Doug,
it was awesome.
We had a week left, and everyone was exhausted.
Oh,
the
yeah.
team, far and wide, all over Colorado, people were exhausted.
We were raggedy.
And so the homosexuals, what man meant for evil, yeah. God used for good.
Amen.
And they brought all these Christians together. And best I can tell, I've been asking people, almost every Chick-fil-A customer would sign a personal petition.
Almost everyone.
Maybe 14 out of 15.
Yeah.
That's better than you get at the vast majority of churches.
Now, I hadn't thought about that, but you're right.
Right? That's better than you get at the Tea Party, and the Tea Party is generally better than the average church.
That's true. You're right.
But nothing was as good as Chick-fil-A.
That was
and that goes for fast food generally.
Yes, that was pretty good.
Right?
Yes. And nothing the sandwich isn't bad either.
No,
I had the one. I've always had the plain one because, now, for all of you who do a lot of road work, I do a lot of work on the road. I'm in my car a lot. I'm driving.
Yeah.
One of the most perfect foods to eat while you're driving is the Chick-fil-A number one sandwich because it's just chicken, bread, and a couple of pickles.
Yeah.
There's nothing to drip.
It's nice and light.
You can eat it while you're driving and you don't have a mess in your lap.
It's not heavy.
Yeah.
It's not a Big Mac that's going to get special sauce on your
thigh. Right, right.
Yeah.
But I had the one with cheese and bacon and maybe a little mayonnaise on it. Wow, that was really good.
Mm.
So, I might even pull over for that one. Anyway.
It could very well be, when it's all said and done, that the homosexuals put us over the top.
Yeah, in their
and got
outrage,
us on the ballot.
In their anger.
Right.
In their attack, their outright attack on a man just for saying that he believes what the Bible says. That's all he said.
Right. That marriage is between a man and a woman. And Doug, notice how far we've fallen. And notice that when we've been warning people 22 years ago, back up to 1991, Bob and Your Life goes on the air, and we were warning people that if you spank your child, they may take your kids away.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell your children that homosexuality is wrong, you may lose your job. You might get arrested. They might take your kids away. In Canada, in one province, they've introduced a bill to say it is illegal in your home to teach children that homosexuality is wrong.
Wow.
And so these things are, of course, they percolate, and they're becoming more and more reality in America. And so here's a businessman who says, I think marriage is between a man and a woman, and he's hated for that.
Yeah.
It is unacceptable in polite company to say, forget about homosexuality being wrong, just to say marriage should be between a man and a woman.
Now, you have hit on a very big subject that I think a lot of people have missed. I think that mainstream talk radio has once again lowered the bar.
Of course.
Once again, I hear on all the talk shows.
Of course, and I know what you're going to say.
They're now saying, just because I'm against homosexual marriage doesn't mean I'm
against homosexuality.
Yeah.
Of course. Doug, 15 years ago, I was saying, eventually, we're only going to talk about homosexual dental care. That's going to be the last controversial issue. That's going to be it.
Should they get dental care on the same plane as every other voter?
Because homosexuals are going to have higher dental costs because of their lifestyle and the supplies the lesbians use. It's just going to be... Should we scratch that?
I think we're live.
We're not live, are we?
Yes, we
are live.
This is live radio, Bob, but just scratch that. But yeah, I know there are dental injuries.
Eventually,
Okay. That'll be the last line. That'll be the final Rubicon.
Eventually,
the
last battle will be over homosexual dental care. And then beyond that, then it's over. Then once they win that, then it's all over. Because conservative Christians no longer say that homosexuals should not adopt children.
They don't say that anymore. No, you're right. There was some resistance to that 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But that has capitulated.
They no longer say that homosexuals should not coach, you know, boys wrestling teams.
Yeah.
They no longer say that homosexuals should not teach kindergarten first graders.
No, they don't. That there was some resistance to that 30 or 40 years ago, but that's long since.
Right. Yeah. So now homosexual marriage is just current, but eventually they're not going to say that either.
No, they won't.
Focus on the Family doesn't say the vast majority. What their policies were for most of their history, they've abandoned those policies.
Yeah.
So they've gotten to a narrower and narrow. Pretty soon they're going to forget what they were all worked up about.
Yeah, it's going to be focus on the, what was that? Focus on,
right.
Focus
it's
on.
It's going to be
what?
like Nurse Laura. You know that national radio syndicated.
Dr. Laura.
Yeah, I think. Who?
Nurse Laura?
I think
she's a doctor. I think she has a PhD from a prestigious Eastern university.
I thought she was a nurse.
No, I think she's a.
Okay. I thought it was Nurse Laura. Anyway, on her show, which I think is, she canceled her show.
I wouldn't know.
I think.
I've heard of her, but I'm not familiar.
She said that homosexuality was wrong. She got tremendous opposition.
That's where I heard of her. Yes, remember that.
She got sponsors. That's why your show, you don't tolerate sponsors.
Don't tolerate any sponsors,
right?
No. We will not be boycotted on my show. I can assure you of that.
Right. Doug's podcast, Weekly Worldview. Doug, so she had all this opposition, so she changed her position.
She did.
And now she says that homosexual couples need to be faithful to one another.
That's just great.
So that's how far they have fallen.
Just sliding down backwards up to the rim of hell there.
Right.
With Dr. Laura.
So, and that's...
Focus on, on whatever.
Right. That's all happening.
Yeah.
So when I was working at this county fair for 2 days in the local Republican Party booth, a Romney staffer came for 2 hours to work in the booth. And I didn't say a word.
you're biting your tongue and on your best behavior. Very nice.
I was there to get personhood signatures.
That's right. That's what it's all about.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't say a word, but she is pro-abortion, pro-homosexual marriage. Not only pro-homosexual, not only that they should adopt, not only that they're, but pro-homosexual marriage.
Yeah.
Completely oblivious to the harm that that does to the culture.
Wow.
To where people, young people growing up, realize what it doesn't matter if you're married. Marriage is nothing. I mean, pretty soon you can marry an animal. Marriage is just irrelevant.
Pretty much.
And so in Europe, where they introduce homosexual marriage, then eventually nobody gets married.
Nobody gets married.
Because it's
married.
A joke.
Yeah.
Marriage becomes a joke. And so she's oblivious to all this. She's immoral. So she is a full-time Mitt Romney campaign staffer.
That's about right, yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Doug, today
sense.
I had a phone call from a Denver police officer,
yeah,
a current guy working on the force, and he said, you know, Bob, I'm conservative, and I'm so thankful that we have a chance of beating Barack Obama with Mitt Romney.
Uh-oh.
I said,
well,
what do you think about Chick-fil-A? He said, oh, I went and ate at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
I said, Mitt Romney opposes Chick-fil-A's position. He won't support Chick-fil-A.
Mm.
I said, what do you think about the Boy Scouts refusing to have homosexual scoutmasters?
Let me guess. He was all for that.
He's so happy the Boy Scouts are standing strong.
Sure.
Said Mitt Romney for 18 years has opposed the Boy Scouts policy. For 18 years, from 1994 to this very day, he's against the Boy Scouts protecting children by not permitting homosexuality within the Boy Scouts.
And Mitt Romney's our conservative hope to beat Obama.
Right.
You know what I'm afraid of? If Mitt Romney were to win, and I think the chances are pretty slim, if he were to win, the Tea Party and the conservatives go back to sleep. If Obama is reelected, the Tea Party and the conservatives kick it into high gear to try to save the country.
Right.
Because Obama will be hell-bent to destroy it.
So when it was the Bush administration that first honored homosexuals at the White House.
In the White House.
When that first happened in history. When George W. Bush, when he introduced another socialist government healthcare program that soon is going to have cost us $1 trillion.
Medicare Part D, drugs for geezers.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember.
The Republicans go, they might
just,
you
slip
know,
through it.
They might squawk a little bit, but yeah, they go along with all the immorality and all the destruction. So the fact that Mitt Romney is pro-homosexual, which he is indisputably.
Well, on record, he's proven it.
He's right. He's pro-homosexual.
Yes.
At the Boy Scouts, at Chick-fil-A. Imagine opposing Chick-fil-A when Chick-fil-A, Dan Cathy, is being attacked by the liberal machine, and the Democratic machine, and Mitt Romney won't lend him a hand.
I don't recall hearing even a peep from Romney on it. To
no,
be honest
the,
with you.
A peep against Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
A peep against the Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
It is not their campaign policy to defend conservative Christians who try to cry out for sanity and truth. Mitt Romney is against sanity and truth in government. He's evil, and he's more dangerous than Barack Obama. So I think the Christians and pro-lifers who are going to vote for Mitt Romney...
And I know you people hate to hear this, but you need to listen.
I think that you guys are hypocrites.
Ooh.
Because you say you're going to vote for the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were honest with yourself, you'd vote for Obama.
He's the lesser.
If you were honest with yourself, you'd vote for Barack Hussein Obama because by any standard, he is the lesser of two evils.
Well, that's the truth.
But they are not voting for the lesser of two evils. They are one issue voters, and that is party politics.
R versus D is
that's
their
it.
Issue. Yeah.
That's it. They think that's the battle. They don't know that the battle is good versus evil. They think it's Republican versus Democrat.
Yeah.
And they just lust. It's like they're addicted to a soap opera or to the Stanley Cup, and they lust after beating the enemy. They lust after.
No, don't turn that dial. I know you're getting offended out there. All you Republicans, stop. You need to hear this. This is tough medicine, but you need to hear this because you don't want to make this mistake.
Yeah.
Speaking of good and evil.
Yeah.
Boomer Esiason has called on the New York Jets to cut Tim Tebow.
Wait, is Esiason evil in this?
Obviously. I mean, do I even have to say? Boomer Esiason, who, by the way, embarrassed himself so many times on the football field. What was he with, the Browns or the Bengals? Some of the most embarrassing moments in all football history can be traced directly to Boomer Esiason and the Cincinnati Bengals, and he has the audacity to
say. He's on Tebow's case because of a preseason
game. He's always hated Tebow. Always. He has hated him since I started paying attention.
It's envy.
Perhaps. I'm not sure what it is. But should I even quote Boomer Esiason? No. Here, look, here's the story. There you go, Boomer.
Well, wait.
Now, how many Super Bowl rings does Mr. Esiason have?
Well, wait a minute.
Our sports expert is sitting here at the
board. Let me uncrinkle that. I'm uncrinkling.
Count them up. How many?
I'm uncrinkling, Doug's. Okay, because this is what Boomer Esiason said. He said, you can say whatever you want about Tim Tebow. He played some of the worst football that any quarterback has ever played in the history of the game. Last year at times.
At times?
Last year, he took the Broncos. The Broncos were what, 1-4? And he brought them to the playoffs, and he had that upset against Pittsburgh. And he was voted the number one sportsman.
Moment of the year.
Number one. Yeah. No, this is two different things.
Oh, he got another award.
He won the ESPN Sports Moment of the Year. He won that.
Yeah.
And he's the number one sportsman in all of sports. Only like Michael Jordan, only like 8 people have had that. Tiger Woods.
Okay.
How far they fall.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well.
8 people have had the number one sports figure.
Yeah.
And Tim Tebow's had it. And it was the fastest to make it.
Yeah. All right, Daryl. Now, have you counted up how many Super Bowl rings Boomer Esiason has?
How many does he have? 2?
No, I don't think he has any.
I think he has 2. No?
I don't think he has any, but Daryl thinks he has 1. Well, I will read a quote from Boomer.
All right.
This will be the final time I ever acknowledge Boomer's existence. Boomer says, quote, the fact is the Jets may want to keep Tim Tebow on this team specifically for one reason and one reason only, and that's the character issue. See, the Jets have problems with players on drugs, drinking, beating up their girlfriends, crashing their cars, robbing
crimes,
stores.
Felonies. You got murders.
Beating people
NFL,
up in parking lots.
In the NBA.
So
right.
Tim Tebow may be of value to the Jets.
There's another dead professional football player a week ago. Doug,
oh, yeah.
Tim
the,
Tebow's
the character
example
issue.
Okay. Could have saved 1,000 careers.
Oh, absolutely.
1,000 careers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? But he's hated by many because, of course, he's Christian.
Including Boomer Esiason.
Unashamedly Christian. Yeah. He's not ashamed of
gospel of Jesus. The final tally of Boomer Esiason Super Bowl rings, goose egg, zero.
It's zero.
And I don't even pay attention to football, but one thing I know is that Boomer Esiason was one of the most famous losers in the history of the league. He lost. He would get to the playoffs and collapse like a $3 suitcase. And he's got
Doug,
a little bit envious.
I just Googled Tebow records.
I'm not upset about this in any way.
I just Googled Tebow records.
It's just
3.8 million web pages on the internet.
It's just a game, Bob.
3.8 million.
Yeah.
And the kgov.com's Tim Tebow's NFL records.
Oh, yeah, that's a great page.
Is number three.
We're number three out of over almost 4 million.
It's number three. And, Doug, it's updated regularly. I mean, there are updates.
Oh, yeah.
July 2012, Tim Tebow won ESPN's Best Moment in Sports, ESPY Award. May 2012, the NFL announced the Madden NFL 2013 video game will feature Tebowing.
Right.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, usually you have to be like a sports legend to have one of your moves immortalized
in Madden
Sports.
NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got January 2012 update, America's number one most famous athlete is Tim Tebow. 18 years in a row, ESPN has been taking this poll,
yeah.
And only 11 athletes, including Michael Jordan, have ever been number one, and Tim Tebow made number one.
All right, quick, our sports experts sitting at the board, will the Broncos play the Jets this year? They're both AFC teams, if I'm not mistaken. It could happen. I will go to the game. If someone will buy me a ticket, I will wear my Tim Tebow Jets jersey to the game in Denver, but someone has to buy me a ticket. And that's just a shameless solicitation to try to get a ticket to the game.
Doug, I offered $500.
Yeah.
It's on thewantads.com for two Jets tickets.
Oh, yeah?
To a game that Tebow's expected to play in.
Okay.
You know what, though? I think I'm going to modify that offer.
No,
because
ask
someone
else.
Because now he's on special teams.
Yeah, but no, just ask someone else to buy you the ticket.
Well, how do I do that?
Just right now, you can just say, folks, I don't have the money for this ticket. But
I'm not going to do that.
If you want to see me in my Jets jersey.
Give money for Colorado Right to Life,
not to
go to a football game.
That's true. That's
but anyway,
true.
Yeah. But you would go in your Broncos jersey?
No, I don't have a Broncos jersey. The Broncos are dead to me. I will go in my Jets jersey with my Tim Tebow Jets jersey, limited edition.
If the Jets play
the
Broncos.
If the Jets come to Denver, I will go.
That would draw a national audience as big as any playoff game.
Yep. And Boomer Esiason can't draw flies.
Tebow,
okay?
I think
it will have to be a playoff game.
Oh, it would have to be
a playoff game.
Well, let's plan on that then.
All right.
Let's plan on that.
All right. It'd have to be a playoff game.
Anyway, Bob, thank you to everyone out there for all your help, especially the woman who gave me the umbrella at Chick-fil-A and the woman who bought me the gift card.
God
bless all of you and everyone who gathered signatures.
112,000.
121,
signatures.
Yes. It's a beautiful number.
It is. Our website is kgov.com. Check out our store. It helps us stay on the air.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study, or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYARD or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.